Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And Holly Michelle.
Woo! How's it going, guys? Here.
I'm awake.
And Aaron's I'm awake. Sleepy. Holly feels like crap, and David also feels like crap.
I'm sorry.
Feels like I got kicked in the balls.
Have a happy Tuesday.
Yes, I am currently drinking, instead of coffee this time, Holly, I'm drinking a Bud Light Lime. Ben Kissel.
You're doing the Ben Kissel special.
Last podcast on the left, so.
Ben Kissel special, that's great.
And I'm having tea, how funny.
So,
we've reversed roles.
We switched.
And I'm drinking water and coffee. Oh, I finished my coffee on our failed first attempt of the show, which might be part of the outtakes. Maybe.
Well, guys, we got our second to last episode, Such Sweet Sorrow for Star Trek Discovery.
So much sorrow.
Yeah, and we have, this is season 2 and episode 13 and aired April 11th, 2019. We get, the beginning is a scenic beach and we have Sarek meditating and his wife comes.
Skinny dipping.
Gives him a bowl of lentils. I don't know what she gives him. Some incense.
A bowl of
snap out of it.
And he wakes up and he goes, Michael.
You should have said Cybok.
Cybok. I really wish they would have just introduced or mentioned Cybok in this season. I know he does not impact anything, but you feel like he only has two kids. He has three children.
Children.
And it's funny because even in this episode, he says, like, I will always be there for a child.
Yeah.
And I was like, a child? Just one of them?
Yeah, yeah. So there's some interesting things.
His Vulcan wife must be on the worst terms.
I know. That must have been a terrible divorce.
I mean, like, for people with no emotions, these people are, like, really shitty to each other. Like, not even talking or acknowledging you have another son.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then,
what if he doesn't know yet that he has a son?
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe it was like, you know, a baby mama that he didn't know he was off away and he was doing a little.
I was so drunk when I was parnfaring. I didn't know we had a.
No, he was out there, Dave. He was really good at being an ambassador and he's doing his diplomatic duties. And then
all the Vulcan bitches can't stand that he's just so good at doing his ambassador stuff. They're just like waiting in a bar's restroom.
Those hotel meetings that all these, you know, Starfleet people all hang out. You know?
I'll raise my eyebrow for you, baby.
Those business trips, things happen. So anyway, so we get that quick shot of those two for the show opener. I don't know why. And then we have the Michael Burnham giving her personal log, and we get a star date this time, Dave.
Ooh, a star date. That's due
10:51:08. And we basically see that the ship Discovery is getting ready to evacuate. They're abandoning the ship. They're going to destroy it. And she goes through a little bit of her personal log while they are, you know, you see each crew member slowly like packing up their stuff. And we see, you know, they're kind of looking back and seeing what they're going to take and what they're going to leave. So, you know, get all that.
And don't forget the condoms.
I did notice that Culber looked at the table that he got his neck snapped at.
I'm going to miss that table.
I kind of wondered, maybe he was like, that was my death or my beginning.
I wonder if Vok got a boner when he did that, like all those killers in the last podcast on the left. I wonder if he felt the boner before he died.
So he's a serial killer. Yeah, yeah, that's the only way he gets any thrills.
Sometimes I just do not know what to say to you two.
Yeah, I know.
Well, but I mean, like, I listened to a lot of last podcast on the left quite a bit, so I get messed up because of them too.
Yeah, they're pretty messed up. Some of the stuff they talk about. From there, we, like I said, we got everyone pulling everything from their ship, their rooms. We
see a sweet little moment.
Yeah, it's and we get everybody kind of like, you know, even Tilly like deciding what she's going to grab out of all her, you know, decorations and knickknacks that she has on her room. So
the vibrator.
So then we get a scene where Burnham's standing in the science lab and she's looking at the Trimus crystal. And Pike's like, we got to go. And she's like, you know, this can't be it. This can't be what we're just, this is the end of it. And it's funny, Pike's all of a sudden, you can see he's in his own head now. He's trying to process everything that he saw when he touched the time crystal. Mm-hmm. And he's just going there and he's saying, you know, sometimes we just don't know the role that we're going to play, you know, and sometimes even if you did know, I don't know if you'd be happy with that. So, and she's keeps on thinking that there must be a reason that they have the time crystal and everything has kind of led its way to here. So, Michael's definitely looking for a deeper meaning in the whole grand scheme. I kind of got that whole thing for this, especially this scene, but we see it more and more. That she's looking for, there's a bigger narrative that she's tied into. So, and she's aware of it now too. Before, she didn't think she had anything to do with it. So
the meaning of life, every sperm is sacred song. That's what she's pondering. Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is good.
Just curious why it would come into her head. Because it doesn't make any sense, David.
That would make any sense for her.
Oh, wait, no.
It's a good song.
This one thing that kind of pissed me off is that I didn't understand that she decided that she was going to just grab the crystal and get a flash of the future.
And why isn't that? Why isn't
it on purpose?
Also, why isn't her future written in stone like Pike's future, which is kind of dumb?
Well, that's different because Pike, you know, if Pike was going to take that crystal, his future would have been one.
That was the deal. Like if he took it.
Yeah, but like it seems like that's the thing. Like if you touch it, you're supposed to. Like, that's the why taking it. I don't know. It seems.
I don't think that's always the case because if Pike didn't take the crystal, then they would never have a crystal, and then they wouldn't have a way to beat control.
And then everyone would die. Yes.
And everyone would die, and so he wouldn't be in a chair. He'd just probably be burnt to a cinder somewhere.
Yeah.
So. But she sees a bunch of flashes and Enterprise under attack, and she hears Leland saying the word goodbye. And we get more on that later.
He kills everyone on the bridge.
He kills everybody, man.
It's like that scene in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the bridge, so she, like I said, she packs up her stuff, the crystal, obviously, and she's heading off to Enterprise. Then on the bridge, we have... Pike and Saru, and they are doing the remote detonation for auto destruct. Dave, I'm a little disappointed they didn't go through the standard auto destruct sequence.
Yeah, they didn't do all the fancy talk. Although everything's disappointing about this next. I mean, not the sets, but I mean, like what they do is really disappointing because it's just so many levels of dumb.
Yeah, and I should back up just a little bit and just say that Discovery and Enterprise are together and they're docked up and everyone's leaving.
They're shagging.
That was a pretty cool scene. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
Everything in Star Trek Discovery is way more Transformer-y than it ever used to be.
I thought to myself, they could have beamed everyone over or take shuttles, but it'd probably take too long.
I mean, like, it makes sense
a lot of energy
that they would have, that they would need to be able to have, like, some kind of gangplanks. And we saw gangplanks and stuff like that in space dock, whatever ships would be stocked in Earth space dock, but
sure.
We've never seen ship to ship before like that. which was kind of cool, but it's just a little bit too Transformery, where these things come out of nowhere.
It could be setting up sets for future shows too, though. So,
I just thought it would look cool, and the two ships next to each other, and
it kind of
showed that we, you know, all the talk about size of Discovery compared to Enterprise. Discovery is a much bigger ship.
Yeah.
So it's
squatter though.
It is squatter, but I mean it's a different shape.
It gets so cuddled up next to Enterprise, so they can merge.
They're very close. So, and then as they're leaving, after they put the auto-destruct on remote control, Saru says that life support, environmental control, and gravitation will be deactivated in minutes, but everything should be working. And I think Pike said that she'll go out with dignity. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Yeah,
it was dignity.
And then we get their entrance on the Enterprise Bridge, and this is where Admiral Cornwell was. She was on the Enterprise. We didn't know this, but she was took command of the Enterprise. And we get this shot of the Enterprise Bridge. I know I kind of poo-pooed the Enterprise Bridge, but it looked much better
in motion episode than that one little shot. The Enterprise Bridge looked amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it is still a redress, at least the view screen part is part of the Discovery, but everything else, like, it's just amazing. It looks like there's, like, a loop that goes around the bridge in between where the turbo shaft and the rest of the bridge connects. It was amazing. I mean, this is what the JJ movie should have looked like as far as Enterprise, because this is so faithful, and it's an update, and it's beautiful.
The problem with the JJ was a pretty set. It's just I always had issues with the JJ Enterprise being so – it's way bigger than the original Enterprise. It's enormous. I just always had a problem how big everything was on the ship. It doesn't feel like a ship. It feels like
– it looks like the Apple Store.
Yeah. It's really, really big. So everyone's assembled on the bridge. Pike's taking command, and they're going to fly away. So they can detonate Discovery, and when that happens, they can't do it. It doesn't work. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention that Captain Giorgio shows up as well.
Oh, yeah, she just wants to come watch the fireworks, and she goes, "Ugh, orange?" And I'm like, it's red. Are you colorblind?
It's weird. A lot of people think that it's strange to me, because I get in this debate a lot of people think that a really dark, deep red that is orange. I don't know why.
Well, Michael tells me that yellow lights are orange lights.
Well, but like color blindness in women is a lot more rare than men, so I thought that was
men are really bad. Men are really bad for color blind, even when they can see color. It wasn't it the blue dress, gold dress thing.
Yeah, it was blue and white, and gold and white. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't the Terrans have something with light and eyes?
They're
and
just
things?
Light sensitive.
Oh, nice. Yeah. She'd be kind of like, ugh, so bright. I didn't think about it. Very, very nice. I forgot about that fact.
Well, I don't think the show writers remember that fact. She's fine in this universe.
Oh,
wow. I've never seen her squint once because.
Well, remember, Lorca had like contacts or something in his eyes. I kind of remember him popping them in. So
he would like inject his eyeballs with stuff too.
Dude. Yeah, but he had an accident.
No, he didn't. He said he had an accident to hide. He was from the Mirror Universe because that was a plot point that they invented for Discovery.
Yeah.
Yep. And only the season one of Discovery, because Michelle Yeoh has not acted sensitive to light at all. So.
People, if you have an opinion, is the Enterprise Bridge orange or red? Just let us know.
Is the dress orange or red?
Orange or red, exactly. So they fly a safe distance away from Discovery, and they try to blow it up through the remote control for self-destruct, and it does not work. And Pike's like, that shouldn't have happened. And Saru's like, that shouldn't happen.
Can we all just say, though, like, we knew this was going to happen?
Yeah, I was waiting for Michael to say wait before they hit the self-destruct.
It wouldn't let itself, you know, go into... What was it getting sucked into? It was, like, about to blow up or some shit, and it wouldn't until it downloaded all of the transferred all the information into the Discovery.
Yeah.
So, like, when they made the... Oh, they needed to save the data.
Yeah.
Like, duh, you're not going to be able to blow this up. Like,
honestly, I don't think I'm that smart because I didn't pick that up.
Seriously,
I don't believe my brain didn't go that way.
I mean, the self destruct thing didn't surprise me that it didn't work, but what made me angry, and I texted Kaylee about this because it made me so mad that they shoot it twice with torpedo. Like, oh, I guess the ship's invulnerable. It's got shields on. When has that ever worked in Star Trek? You keep shooting it until the shields come down.
Well,
every space battle, shields at 50%, shields at 20%, shields are done.
We're exposed. Think about it. All of its systems are down, so it didn't need gravity. It didn't need oxygen. It literally could use as much power as it wanted to keep those shields up.
It's got a finite amount of power. They didn't explain.
I think you're missing the point, though. I think you're right, Dave. Yeah, they could have just pummeled it until it did explode or destroy it. But I think the sphere data is basically melded with the Discovery. Who knows what it could have done after that? So I don't know. Maybe it would warp itself out of the area. I don't know.
I mean,
unlikely, but could have happened.
I don't know. Track to beam it, then shoot it. I don't know. There's so many ways they could have. Like, I'm just like, use some phasers, weaken the shields, then use the torpedoes. That's what the phasers are for, taking down the shields.
Yeah, I like that you have a direct approach, but
it's just like, oh well, the ship's invulnerable. That just how it read to me. And then she has her flash forward where Leland comes on the bridge and kills everyone after they said the shields came down. I'm like, oh my god, you just said the shields couldn't come down, and then you had a flash forward to where the shields came down. Just keep shooting it till the shields are down. That's all you have to do.
Well, when that happens, he does say to shoot, and they fire a couple torpedoes and shields are up, and then they're like, what? And then they're like, so something's going on with the sphere data. It's basically really protecting itself that it won't let us blow it up. And like you said, that's when she has this like a flash forward of things to come because she touched the time crystal. So I guess technically for storytelling purposes, there's a reason why she touched that time crystal. I thought it was kind of weird, though. I mean, maybe when she touched the time crystal, it was like the forbidden fruit kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I wonder why God keeps telling me not to eat this fruit. Looks really good.
It gives you space.
And I'm really hungry.
I don't know. I mean, the writing at that point, I'm just was so mad about the writing that they said, oh, we can't bring down the shields. And then they show it under attack and the shields go down from being under attack. I'm just like, no, did anyone proofread this?
But that's when she saw that. I think she saw permutation is the wrong word, but she saw
premonition.
A premonition of the future of things to come if they try to do what they're doing. And then she's like, wait, no, that's not it. That's not the answer because that leads to our death. You know?
Well, but they didn't try very hard in her premonition. They shot twice and then gave up in their premonition. They didn't actually shoot at all.
Right. And then she's like, wait, you know, obviously Michael shouts, no, don't stop. Wait.
Yeah.
And then she's like, this is not what we have to do. This Discovery is protecting herself from this. Oh, and by the way, the Leland, control thing. That was pretty rough seeing them all get killed. And we even had somebody on the Facebook group saying that it was a rough scene to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like Galaxy Quest to me. Galaxy Quest wasn't that hard to watch. I don't know. It was very reminiscent of the Galaxy Quest scene where they, right before they initiate the Omega 13.
Well,
I mean, yeah. I could say something, but
go ahead, say it.
Well, I don't know. It's just like kind of funny that you were dissatisfied with the little amount of time that they wanted us to fall in like with Arium before they killed her off. And then you see all of these people die that you've gotten used to and you should have more of a connection with them. And you're like, eh.
But it was a premonition. It's not real. I mean, like, I knew it wasn't really happening. It was just a premonition. I guess I'm too in the meta. I'm like, I know they're not really in danger because it's...
I mean, you don't know yet. You don't know if that's going to come true yet or not.
Oh, I know it's not.
You think it's not?
Discovery's not had the balls to really kill anybody important, except for Landry and Lorca.
I'm just saying. It's kind of funny.
And Arium. And Arium.
Oh, I'm sure they'll fight
out. He didn't think Arium was important.
No, they'll bring back Arium next season because we can't let anyone stay dead.
Well, anyways,
they brought back Colbert for no reason.
Whether that's not it, whether they're important or not, let's agree that was kind of a. It was well done.
It was cool. It didn't shake me. It didn't scare me.
Oh man, nothing scared you.
Nah.
So they're
just bad doctors. They scare me.
So they're saying, well, you know, they can't just take Discovery away because Control will hunt them down no matter what. I'm like, where's the rest of Starfleet? I mean, maybe they don't have as many ships because of the Klingon War now, but.
But they also, they said they're cut off from Starfleet.
Yeah, they are.
From communications. Send smoke signals or something.
Ooh, nice.
Or you've got a spore drive. Use the spore drive to jump.
Well, that's Earth. What they even. But they said that, and they said they would Control would still, you know, chase after them one jump, way or the other.
Like, leave a beacon with a message repeating. Just spore drive to Earth. Let it fall out of the ship and spore drive away. You can do it in 2 seconds. It's not gonna.
Well, Spock says yes.
They don't need the time crystal. Discovery itself can travel through time using the mycelium network, but they've forgotten this.
How can they travel through time?
They did it last season. They traveled 9 months into the future with the mycelial network.
I think that was accidental.
Yeah, dude. I don't think that was intentional.
I don't think Stamets has his arms around that.
Regardless, it's something that's possible with the ship.
It is possible. You're right.
The ship is a time machine with a mycelial network. It can do anything the writers want it to do until they forget it can do the things it can do.
It's a magic mushroom ship.
Yes.
Puff the magic dragon lives
in the space.
All right. Well, let's move forward. So basically Spock says, as long as Discovery is around, it's a problem. And Michael says, well, we have to get rid of it from the here and now. And that's when we have to completely remove it from the galactic equation. And this is when we jump from there to the conference room, and they're going through what their plan, what they're going to do. So they're going to reconstruct the Angel suit,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to use Michael because she has the closest DNA to her mother, and they're going to then take. She's going to open a wormhole into the future. She's going to fly through that, and she's going to take Discovery with her. And Discovery will be on remote control or whatever. It will be programmed to follow her. And at that point, she'll go into the future, and humanity will be safe. Well, there's a couple of issues with that. Obviously, they have to build the suit. They have to figure out how to use the time crystal and integrate it into the suit. And how is Michael ever going to get back?
Because the time crystal is going to be all burned up.
Yes.
She can't come back.
And that's the thing. It's a one-way trip. And even Georgios, they're talking about how to get the right energy, and she suggests putting an antimatter missile into a star's core. Saru's like,
I thought there were no bad ideas.
Saru's like, they would kill anybody in the, you know, for light years around. She goes, I thought there's no bad ideas. He goes, that's a bad one.
Oh, come on. There's got to be a bunch of non-inhabited planets and within light years of things. I mean, we're 5 light years away from the nearest star, I think. Alpha Centauri is 5 light years away.
The only issue with this plan that I really have, I mean, obviously the time crystal is a variable, and we see them bumping against that issue, but building the suit seemed like a no-brainer. Like, they had it all figured out. I know they had all the specs for it, but I gotta think building that within an hour has got to be pretty insane.
That it just doesn't. Yeah. Me and Holly were discussing this before, earlier. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense that they can build the thing in an hour. Scotty couldn't do anything in an hour. Even fixing a ship he knew like the back of his hand always took time. But they're just going to build something they've only got the schematics for with no practical experience on. It just, I don't know. Like, Scotty was a miracle worker. But these people were actually performing real miracles, and it just is like, why? Why did they start building this episodes ago?
Well, when they get, after all that gets talked about, they get a call from the bridge, and they have a fifth signal has been detected. And this one will take them to a planet that for the what's her name? Queen Poe. I'm not going to try to say her whole name. So
I wouldn't.
Try, Dave. Mihani Kaki Halika Po. It's not Kaki. I'm sorry.
Pinky Winky. Oh.
So
she's a Teletubby.
We get her back into the series. I didn't even see how that was going to be tied in.
I didn't see how it was going to be tied in either. I mean, I have to give props to Discovery for not wasting our time with that short track, because I really thought they were. But it was interesting that they didn't. So, I mean, I gotta give them props for tying something in that I thought was completely irrelevant.
Yeah, so. Right.
Yeah, and I told David earlier, like, I know I mentioned that last week that I was going to go and rewatch the shorts, and I did. And once I rewatched them, I became hopeful that we would see, not specifically the way it turned out, but hopeful that we would see a return for those.
I just wonder if Harry Mudd's going to tie in at all. I don't know how they're going to have time to fit in Harry Mudd next episode.
I think that was just have fun with it.
I don't know, but like, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I thought they were all going to be a waste of time except for the Saru one. But the Saru one tied in.
Technology.
But the Saru one tied in. The Calypso one's going to tie in because they're going to jump Discovery 1,000 years into the future. So they're going to bypass her mom. Mm-hmm. Beyond when Control's destroyed everything, so they're going to bypass that by going 50 years into the future. So the Calypso stuff could happen with the existing ships. That makes sense. And then they brought in Miss Poe. So everything's tied up except for Harry Mudd. So I didn't think they would ever connect, and they are. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if Harry Mudd's going to connect. I kind of hope it does, because I'd love to see, you know, Rainn Wilson back as Harry Mudd, but. Don't know how
I say
sacrifice
one of the Mud clones. That's what I say.
There you go.
I mean, maybe that's where Tyler's going, because Tyler's like, oh man, that would be great. Maybe Tyler knows about the all the clones Harry Mudd's doing.
Because, probably does. He's in Section 31.
Because I mean, that's my speculation for Tyler. Because Tyler's like, hey Pike, I hope you trust me, and if you do, please let me go, because I need to do something that'll help us out. So he's either going to go to Laurel and bring Klingons, or he's going to go to Mud and bring Mud. I think those are the only two, and I think he might need to go for Mud. That way they can tie in the Mud thing.
Will you hate him less if he does that?
No.
Well, so Queen Poe's planet, that's where the Redburst shows up. And just before they're going to go back to Discovery, and they're taking, I guess, the essential crew that needs for Discovery to fly it and do whatever they got to do. Pike's taking them, and Cornwall's being in command of the Enterprise. And they're basically going to take all the space shuttlecrafts and landing pods, and they're going to get them fitted for fighting Section 31 ship in Control. And we even get Number One said, I already kind of started that. That's already kind of done on my end.
I've badass read our ships.
Yes.
I love Number One. I wish she was in the show more.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. Well, anyways, so Discovery jumps, and Enterprise flies to the Queen Poe's planet. And we find out that Queen Poe is she has a way to recrystallize dilithium. Which we didn't know that until Tilly, because Tilly knows Queen Poe, and she's just a huge science geek like her.
She ain't got nothing on Scotty. Scotty figured out how to do it with 20th century technology.
Klingon crystals. And she even makes a joke about she wouldn't need to stuff herself into a cargo pallet. So I'm like, what? Nothing. So
yeah, I thought
that was fun.
It was funny.
Then in engineering, we get a scene between Culber and Stamets, and basically he's like, hey, I might take a break from all the starship shit after all this is done. And they talk about just moving forward, basically. And it seems like, I don't know, it seems like they are breaking up for sure, but it does seem like they are trying to be good with each other. And like, hey, I hope you're happy. I hope you find happiness.
Yay.
breaking up. It's hard to do.
It's easier when they're dead.
Wait. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't think it's easier when they're dead.
Well, nobody blames you unless you're there with the murder weapon.
Boner and box pants. That's the murder weapon.
So the transporter room, we have Tilly there with a bowl of ice cream. And when Poe shows up, I like that Captain Pike is like, "Your Highness, la 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 da da." And then she's like, "Tilly." And he totally ignores Captain and comes down. And she's like, "I tried to make this ice cream that you speak of, and I couldn't seem to make it. It just turned into goo." And
she was too precise.
Yes, and so and then she meets the captain, she meets Michael, and they're basically like, "Hey, you know, let's talk about this. They go through the issues of the time crystal, and how they can work it out." So she's going to use the warp core energy and dark energy to kind of replicate a power of a supernova. And she's got some crazy idea on how to funnel all that energy into the crystal itself.
So funnel cake.
A funnel cake. And we get a great Jet Reno is back. So thank God she's back. I'm so happy to see her. And we get her kind of there as she's working out her ideas. What'd you guys think of Poe? Were you cool with her? Did you like her? I barely remembered her from the the first short.
I was trying to
remember her, like, you know, like I should have gone back and rewatched it, but I hadn't had time to. So
I liked her, but I just rewatched the short, so I was already prepared to see her again. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, so she's kind of like their ace up their sleeve, and they're going to get working on that. And then
she's going to supercharge the time crystal, but there's a problem, right?
The problem was basically first generating that amount of energy that would, you know, duplicate the power of a supernova. Mm-hmm. And the other issue is they have to funnel all the energy from the mycelium spore drive through there, and they wouldn't be able to do any jumps afterward. And and on top of that, they had to it had to go like a water. It was like getting a glass of water with a waterfall. You know, it'd just be too much.
Yeah, it would just overflow it and mess it up because of the force behind it.
So they basically have to. She's got to construct something also to kind of funnel it into the crystal so it can capture that energy.
Right.
So see how it works. Then we jump to the bridge, and they're kind of doing the announcement: "Is Michael Berman is going away, folks?" And Tyler doesn't seem happy about it. So and we see Michael. She's kind of got that look on her face, like, "This is something I got to do. You know, you guys have been great. Peace out."
Yeah.
So,
I'm going back to the future.
Back to the future, Marty. And Enterprise is like less than an hour away, and Control is like 10 minutes right behind them. So they have no time, like literally no time to do all this stuff to get together and get everything figured out. Engineering, we get Poe and Tilly talking, and Tilly doesn't seem to think that it's going to work, and Poe's like, "Yeah, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it." And you know, and then there's a whole scene of her saying that she's not going to leave, and she's going to make sure all this works,
right?
And she's not going to sit on her throne. And she said, "Wave a hanky from my throne while everything is going, because this is important." So you know, so that's a good queen, I guess.
You don't
nobler than most nobles.
Indeed.
Yes. And then we get a scene with Giorgio, and she's saying, you know, "This is stupid, that Berno's plan, that she's going to send you through the galactic rubber band with a martyr complex." And then Michael's like, "Hey, look, this is the only plan we got. It's got to work. And, you know, if I ever get back, you can talk to me about my gaping character flaws. And mm-hmm. she kind of walks off from Giorgio. It's weird because, you know, as much as Giorgio acts like a badass and doesn't care, it's just like you keep on getting notions that she really does care about Michael.
Oh, yeah. From the first moment from the moment she was going to die for Michael.
Right. Right. It's just weird to me because there's certain scenes in this mirror universe where she was like ready to kill her, you know, but maybe because Michael saved her.
So. She feels indebted somehow, although I don't see mirror people feeling indebted.
No, she loved the Michael from the mirror universe.
And maybe she's like, you know.
It's carried over feelings, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, and then as they walk away, Michael's walking down the corridors, and then she sees Tarek and Amanda. What? Mom, Dad, how'd you get here? And they have a...
We couldn't get through to you.
We couldn't talk to you, so we found you. So, we have a kind of a goodbye scene between Tarek and Amanda and Michael and...
No mention of Cybok was ever heard.
No mentions of Cybok. Interestingly, though.
Tell Cybok bye for me, Dad.
Yes. Damn, thanks for the weed.
But and the Bud Light Lime.
Bud Light Lime that I'm drinking now. So, but it's funny that Sarek mentions at the very end of this conversation, because she's talking, I'll always be there for Spock. But I'll keep my distance just as he's requested.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that when we see the Babylon or what not that Babylon Babel scene or Babel episode in the original series,
mm-hmm.
and in Star Trek, is it? Well, I guess it would be Star Trek 4, where we get the scenes between Sarek and Spock in the original series. That this is more of a Spock thing. Than a Sarek, because we were led to believe that Sarek, for years, we were led to believe that Sarek was not happy with Spock because he decided to go with Starfleet and not with the Vulcan Science Academy.
Right.
And this is like, Spock doesn't want me around. I mean, maybe we're just seeing the other side of it. I don't know. So, I don't know. It kind of put a different spin on the whole relationship just with one sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that odd. It's strange.
Yeah. I think that's what I was saying.
Or maybe Sarek is always, because I know a big problem you've been having with the series, Aaron, is how emotional Sarek is. Maybe Spock was trying to distance himself because of how emotional he was.
Dad, you're crying all over me.
Dad, quit smiling and coming all over everywhere.
Yeah, coming?
I don't know, I'm tired.
But
I'm trying to channel some Henry Zebrowski since you're channeling some Ben Kissel.
Ben Kissel? Does it make Holly Marcus Parks?
Yes.
Okay.
I agree to nothing. I don't know who these people are.
That's all right. You're probably better off. So anyways, it was
personality-wise, probably she's more like Ben because Ben's always like on Henry for things.
Yes, yes.
But you are drinking the Bud Light Lime. You're technically more Marcus Parks.
Okay. So if you get a chance, listen to the last podcast on the left.
It's a great show.
You probably will hate it, but.
I say, isn't that a horror podcast?
It's horror, it's serial killers, it's paranormal. Yeah,
aliens,
it's
all that weird. It's
I hear a lot about it. It just doesn't sound like it's my cup of tea.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, but so it's anyways the Sarek Spock thing. you okay?
Sorry.
You're that bored, huh?
Would travel.
Well, anyways. I just thought it was interesting. I'll leave it at that. And I want to get back to the scene at another point later on. But so from there, we're going to go. They're going to time to get ready to go. And we get a quick scene between Tilly and Michael. And she's basically, you know, like saying goodbye to each other. And then she's like, well, we're not going to really say goodbye. And a whole bunch of people are going to stay with her on the ship. So we got Spock, Saru, Stamets, Jet Reno, Asunakun, Arsunesen, I don't know, Detmer, Bryce, Rice, and Nielsen, and Tyler. Well, Tyler's there, but later he says he's not.
He's not going. I'm just pretending that I'll be coming with you.
Yeah, he's like, I love you, but Section 31 is my true mission.
Harry Mudd is my true mission.
And we get this whole...
Dude, I think his reason was fine. To be completely honest, yeah. I think his reason was fine.
Harry
like,
Mudd can make him a Michael robot to bang.
Ew. There you go.
Yeah. No.
He's not wrong, Holly. He's not wrong.
If I'm right about the whole Harry Mudd head thing, he would need Michael's DNA in order to do that. So I don't know that that's...
Tyler's
probably got some. Maybe he took some hair from somewhere along the way.
Yes, because he seems like that kind of creep.
He goes to her toilet.
Ew.
But he gets Tilly's instead.
Takes some lingerie.
Anyways, so we have a goodbye between Tilly and Tyler. Not Tilly and Tyler. I'm sorry, Michael and Tyler. That would be hilarious, though. I would love to see that scene.
And Tilly starts making out with him. It's like, I've always loved you.
I'm sorry. I just didn't know what I was doing. I was just... Yeah. We get a goodbye scene between them. And basically, Tyler says, I'm staying behind because I have to make sure that, you know, this whole control thing never happens again with Section 31. I don't know really what power he has in Section 31. But
he's a minion at best.
But maybe a minion. And then we get a whole scene where the crew is kind of giving their goodbye messages to their families, which I thought was well done. I wonder actually how much time they actually have to record these, but I'm assuming this takes place, you know, over the somewhat hour they had while they're setting up. So,
yeah.
And Burnham goes to the bridge, and we see Pike is dressed in his the gold.
He is yellow. Uniform.
Yeah, his yellow suit. And he's, you know, they get a kind of a goodbye from Pike. And I liked it. The only thing I didn't like, I noticed this. I never thought about this before, guys. I never thought about that in Starfleet, there's really no salute for Starfleet. There never really was. And the only thing we kind of like, I mean, you know, Holly, you would know the at ease kind of, that kind of thing. That's kind of their salute.
I think it's kind of like an acknowledgement, kind of like how in like Avatar, it's I see you. It's like a I recognize you rather than like an outward like good morning, sir.
Yeah, but you know, like in like there's tons of military movies where like the last like the guy's gonna go off and do some suicide crazy mission, and they're all like
and they all salute him.
They all salute him, and they're kind of crying under their.
Well, they stand up animal. On their desks.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My captain.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yes.
I liked it. Yeah, it was a parade rest. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and I liked even the little quick thing. He goes to Spock. There are no words, you know, so so he's going back over to Enterprise after Enterprise catches up with Discovery, and they're going to do the whole thing, you know, get ready to face control.
Let's do the damn thing.
So and at the he beams over in the last minute. Giorgio says, you're like,
oh, by the way, I'm Taryn from your mirror universe.
And he goes, what
mirror universe? And winks at her.
like, yeah, I didn't know what you're talking about. And then
that's what I love about him, because he just knows everything.
He's so great.
Yeah. And then...
And he pretended not to know the entire time, which was kind of great.
And then we get the ships getting ready for battle, and the Section 31 ships, there's quite a few of them. And we have lots of the shuttles and the work pods, and also I think number one also mentioned that she got like a bunch of like I forgot what she said, like experimental like fighters or something like that they had, or I can't remember.
Sounds like she said flyers,
Delta flyers.
Like did they invent this before Voyager did?
Well, I mean, whatever. But so they had some ships, and when you see it, there's a tons of ships all around. So, and that's, and then we basically, we get, they're getting ready to fight and shields up and prepare for battle. And to be continued.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, who wants to go first?
Holly.
Who wants to talk about
go first,
this
Holly?
Episode?
I mean, with all that happened, it's another one of those episodes where I don't have a lot to remark about. Like,
it doesn't feel like it went anywhere.
Yeah, well, it didn't, really.
It's just like the season. They
sat in the same spot. They didn't go anywhere. What were you going to say, David?
I was just going to say it's just like last year's second to last episode where nothing happens. They just, they're just like, they doodle around for an hour. last year they just planted some spores and got the spores to grow, and they talked about their plan some more about what they're going to do, and then that's all, and then everything happened in the last episode.
Yeah, I
feel
mean,
like they're doing the same thing this year.
Like, I enjoyed the episode. Like, I have no complaints. I just, as far as things to discuss, you know, I liked the little catwalks, the little extender catwalks that they went from ship to ship. I thought that was really cool. I love that the uniforms on the Enterprise are actually, like, leather, which is neat, even though that's not really how it is. But, I don't know, I bought into the episode. I was fine with it. I don't know what else there is to say.
I'll go next if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got things to say. I have things to say, people.
I have things to say, people to do.
Tell us your things.
So I watched the first time and I was a little bit miffed. I was really charged up. It felt like you think you're going to have that night where you're going to get with your honey and things are going to go the way you think it's going to go, and it doesn't go that way.
It's Discovery. You knew it wasn't going to happen that way.
And you end up having like something more of like a talk about your relationship or something like that when you wanted to, you know.
Put it in. Yes.
Yes. So I was kind of upset when I first watched it. And I watched it again and I wasn't quite as upset. I kind of knew what was happening. I really expected hold by the seat of your pants, you know, fighting control and getting the suit working last minute. And maybe next episode we'd see them go through the wormhole or whatever's going to happen. I didn't expect this farewell kind of sequence to Michael. And the only real issue I had was Sarek and Amanda showing up. Why would they know where Discovery was?
And they beat Control and Leland.
Yep.
And obviously we get in the very first scene, Sarek's in the beginning there, and he's, you know,
Is he seeing the future or something that?
He knows something's wrong, and you hear shouting and stuff like that, so you know that he knows that something's going on with Michael, and their Katras are tied together, like he mentions. I have a hard time getting my head around that they would have gone and tried, you know, to do something. I mean,
he can just make himself a vision in front of her eyes. Right. I mean, like, it's... He doesn't have to go physically.
Anyways, I had a bit of a problem with that. I saw it again. The scene is well acted, and, you know, I guess it's kind of like saying goodbye to those characters maybe for now. Maybe we'll see them again. I don't know. But I just was like, this seems strange to me that they'd actually be there, but whatever. You know, and Spock says that he's going into the future with her, and, you know, they're not going to see your son again either. So,
that's the thing. Like, I'm miffed that Spock is going with them, because now that Spock is going with them, they're definitely coming back. Like, there was, you know, if Spock wasn't going, there's this potential that maybe the show can be a sequel show and like just be in the future, like way in the far in the future. They can just do new things, and then they don't have to worry about canon ever again, because they're so far away from everything in established Star Trek lore. They can do whatever the hell they want. And,
true.
And now that Spock is going with them, that is just out the window. Unless they just like put Spock in the suit and hit return to sender and he comes back by himself and everyone else stays.
Return to sender.
But I don't think that's where they're gonna go. Honestly, I was hoping they could do that because then they can ignore canon and they can just do whatever they want.
Well, no. Let's stop for a second because there's a couple things that could happen. Spock says he's gonna go. Maybe somehow he gets separated in the battle and he doesn't get to go through the wormhole. Another thing, maybe Spock, the character, goes in the future with them, and he comes back at the same time later on, maybe a season later or so, maybe he returns. That's another thought too.
It's possible, but I don't think they're going to go that route since Spock is on the team. I mean, maybe they could. I mean, your possibilities are completely valid. I'm just saying my gut feeling about Discovery and in the writing. Because Spock is, saying he's going, I think they're all going to make it back. I think it's just going to be, they're going to get a new ship next season because they have to. And
I feel like there's been a lot of them leading you to believe one thing and then at the last second or, changing it up on you. So like
they have been changing it up, which is
so leading you to believe that Spock is going. It's very possible that he doesn't actually go because. It's been happening the whole season.
I mean, it's true. Maybe he does get held up, and they do stay in the future, and that would be a great out. That would be an amazing out for them. That way, they could just be in the future and do their own thing,
with just a bridge crew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but it's, well, anyways, I mean, we did get a tweet with Anson Mount I forgot his name. Peck. I forgot his first name.
Ethan
Peck. Saying that they're unemployed currently.
Mm-hmm.
So it would mean that they are currently not employed by CBS at this moment. So I would say that I'm banking on Spock not making it through that wormhole one way or the other. That's what I'm thinking.
Or Spock makes it through and they just all come back, which is what I'm thinking. Because it's like time travel,
like Back to the Future. Marty goes back to the same moment when he disappeared, kind of thing.
That's true.
So it's like nothing. He went through these crazy adventures, but nothing to them. Nothing happened. He showed up the exact same minute.
It could be, but I mean, it would be interesting. I mean, there's so many ways they could take it next episode.
Yeah. So anyways, that's all. Possibilities. I do believe, like you said, Dave, I really think, and I think the smartest choice if they do this, I think Discovery is going to change from a prequel to a sequel of a series. I think they're going to switch forward to the future, which is totally cool. There's tons of space to go out there and explore and things to get involved in. The only issue is, will there be a Federation Starfleet command? A thousand year in the future.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It could be like a Battlestar Galactica or whatever. Just they're kind of on their own in the future, and they pick up because they're only a bridge crew. They got to pick up people to help them out with their ship and whatnot. And then like
it could be like a Discovery. It could be like a Voyager. Technically.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, so anyway,
they have to go discover things.
Yeah, discover.
Yeah.
Well played.
I mean, there's a lot they could do with it. But by the way Calypso looks, I think they just all just leave and they come back to the past somehow.
Well, we don't know, but there could be more to it than that. But I do like. If we're going to pick a crew for Discovery, I like the people who stayed. I mean, obviously, I would like if Pike would have stayed, but obviously that's not going to happen just because of reasons. But I mean, it's true. I mean, I liked everyone that was standing there like, we're going to go with you. I'm like, that's a fucking good crew. I like everybody on there. So
Tilly will be captain.
Captain Killy. So I think that's going to be exciting. So that's fun. I really felt that this episode was kind of drawn out. And it's funny because I rewatched it. I noticed about halfway through is when it start doing the teary goodbyes to Michael kind of thing. And I don't think I have as big as a problem the second time watching around. The first time, my eyes were just rolling. It's like, can we just go on with the story? Because I like I said, I was really expecting sex and I got something else. It's really what it comes down to. I mean, like, I guess sex is the right. I mean, using my old analogy, but I was
But for action, a moment, I didn't get it. I was like, why didn't I get it?
No, but my thing was like, I wanted the action adventure, the fight with control. I was so psyched for this. This was it. This was what we were all talking about, and then it didn't happen. It was just like, I feel bad that Michael's leaving, you know. And I was like, I was deflated, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way that I felt. So anyways, the episode was kind of stagnant, didn't go anywhere. I mean, I guess they got some technical issues kind of figured out, which I guess it helps a little bit, but I really thought it was going to be a freaking, you know, nail biter kind of thing. And it really wasn't. So that's where I'm at. I honestly, second time around, I didn't hate it as much. I really was frustrated, but, it's just, I don't think this episode serves a ton other than getting Queen Poe on the ship and a couple other things. So, you know, they get Tyler off the ship and, you know, they're going to go into the future now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Dave?
So, like, for me, this has been my favorite episode in a while, even though it didn't go anywhere. I mean, we got some character moments. I mean, you know, the goodbye of a Pike was sappy, but it was. I just, anytime Anson Mount's on screen, I just absolutely love it. Anson Mount is great. He's been the best thing about season two of Star Trek Discovery by far, in my opinion. So anytime we get Pike on screen is just absolutely brilliant. So like, even though it was kind of sappy, like you were saying, I didn't hate this episode. This episode's been the best of the last four or five, I think. To me, as far as that, because we got some character moments, we got the other crews hearing, you got to see their goodbye letters, parts of them anyway. So we got some little bit of character from other characters other than Michael, which is what I've been craving. So I mean, anything that delivers that, I have to bump this episode up. The Enterprise bridge was absolutely stunning. It was beautifully done, faithful but updated, and it's just absolutely brilliant. They actually tied in Short Treks, which was, I didn't see coming. I thought they were worthless throwaway things. They were just trying to do for whatever reasons they were. I thought they had nothing to do. And the fact that they're starting to tie them in, is kind of exciting that it wasn't just these worthless 40 minutes of random footage that didn't seem to serve any purpose. It's nice that it's tying in to serving a purpose, and it's surprising me. We kind of thought Michael was out as the Red Angel. Now she's back in as the Red Angel, which is kind of nice that they are. Maybe they're not dropping the entire cookie. Maybe they're just dropping half of it. Like my analogy a couple episodes ago, where like they're not very good at keeping the secrets. They're just like, they're dropping hints, and then they're subverting expectations a little bit this season. Like they're dropping hints, and then they're kind of like going but maybe. So they're being a little bit more tricky with it. I still have issues with the writing, though. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, like just that. The fact that they just didn't try after two torpedoes, I was like, what the hell, guys? It just made me angry. And then, like, but once that part was over, the rest of the episode really didn't bother me. Except for the whole episode is based on the presupposition that you can't shoot the shields off a ship, which is kind of irks me. Because it happens so much in Star Trek. It's like, has no one ever seen Star Trek? Like, shields come down all the time. I've never seen the shields not be.
I just got to disagree. I think that she saw a future of something that if they would have succeeded with blowing up the Discovery, that that things wouldn't have worked out well for
them. But that's not true, because the future she saw, they were standing on the Discovery. So if you blow it up, they can't be standing on it.
If that's the case, then she would now be linked with the crystal, because then it would be because she saw visions when she was touching or about to grab the crystal.
Yes.
And then she got a full premonition before the ship was blown up. So if that's the case, basically, if they damage the shields, that's how Leland would get on. I think that's what you're saying, right, Aaron?
I mean, like, that's part of it, but I mean, there's a lot going on, and she saw. So I don't know how that premonition that she saw like ties into everything, but obviously it meant something. And I'm hoping that her stopping Pike from blowing up Discovery or shooting Discovery stops them from, you know.
I don't know, because
dying.
Reno has similar vision when she is in trying to help contain it. So it looks like the same vision to me.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the same vision. It just the thing is, they wrote themselves into a corner with the Calypso thing. So they have the ship can't be destroyed because the ship has to end up 1,000 years in the future. So they're just
if that's what happened, you know, I mean, at this point, that's the only thing that could happen. But hey.
Yeah.
Look over here while we do this over there.
Misdirection. They have been doing more misdirection this season. It was a better episode for me. I do agree, Aaron. Like, I mean, I wasn't in your corner. I wasn't expecting sex and getting just a talk because I had a feeling Discovery was going to pull another exposition episode or, you know, the second to last episode of season one where it's just like nothing really happens. They just kind of talk a bunch.
See, you're so smarter than me. I'm like stupid dog. Like, oh, you're going to get to me. Okay, we're going to do this. Okay, it's going to be great. And then I'm like, you fucked with me again.
Yeah, I was just like, nah, they're not going to do it. I'm just so jaded on Discovery. I mean, I don't hate the show by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, we haven't hit the third season yet. You know, usually Star Trek hits its stride after the third season. So, I mean, I'm sticking with the show. I'm enjoying it here and there. It's just, they just do this weird lull. They've done it twice to us. The second to last episode is kind of a ho-hum.
I think they do it every couple episodes. We keep talking about this.
This season specifically, yes. But in season one, it was a very dead stop at the very end.
Yeah.
But I mean, this season they've been doing it all throughout. But just last season also had that ho-hum episode right before they have to wrap everything up in a single episode. And it just, I just feel like it's going to be rushed again. And I
hope they don't wrap it up. I hope it's a cliffhanger because there's no way they can cram.
Yeah.
A wrap up into this. There's no way.
I agree. And I hope that obviously we get a fight with Control. They get through the wormhole and then we're kind of like, what's next? And that's third season.
I mean, they did it. There was no way they could have done it last season, and yet they did. And they wasted a lot of time in the last episode, too. They dipped around a ton in the last episode, and they just wrapped it up in a bow and just expected us to take it. Like,
I guess.
They wasted so much time in both seasons. They just didn't have a sustainable, satisfying ending for season one, and I'm scared season two is going to be just as rushed because, let's face it, they did the same thing. The second to last episode's ho hum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're it's just build up and nothing actually happened. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, there will probably be some method of cliffhanger because Star Trek usually does cliffhangers between seasons, and seeing the Enterprise was sort of a cliffhanger, but kind of not really. So, I mean, I do expect some cliffhanger, but I expect it to be mostly resolved. And, you know, maybe they'll be in the future for, you know, first half of the season and they'll come back. Or maybe they'll stay. Who knows? Because I love the idea of the show shifting from a prequel to a sequel. But with Spock with them, he's either going to get separated or they all come back. Is this kind of what I'm thinking.
Right, right.
But yeah.
I don't know. I really hope. I hope these guys know that, you know, shooting them in, you know, whatever, 1,000 years in the future can be really fun to watch. Even for a season, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, even if they're only gone for a season, they come right back at the same time they left. I mean, they could do – there's so much you could do. There's so much freedom with what they're doing with how this season is going. There's,
I don't know,
lots of potential what they could do with the last episode. It just depends on how they're going to use it.
I think you'll end up being unsatisfied because it's quite similar to how they crossed into the Mirror Universe and then they came back, and I know you guys were, you know, unsatisfied with that. So,
well, the Mirror Universe diverted. The reason I was upset about the Mirror Universe is because it took away from the Klingon War. If they go into the future for the next season, the show can cross over from a prequel to a sequel, and then canon doesn't matter anymore. The only Star Trek canon we have, like, is only 200-something years beyond, and then beyond Discovery, and like 400, 500 if you count the time ship, the USS Relativity, and the stuff that they do with 7 of 9. Like, that's as far in the future as we get. That's only one ship in one time. So things beyond that is totally blank slate other than the canon they established in Calypso. So I really wouldn't mind a show being set in the future, because then it could really be about Discovery. They could do new things, and it wouldn't matter. They could show TNG aliens. They could bring the Borg back and all this. There's so much stuff they could do, and it wouldn't matter, and it would be fine because it's in the future, and it wouldn't violate canon, and it would be great.
There's so much more
freedom for the writers if they do go to the future. And stay there. And I wouldn't mind that at all, because I wanted a sequel show from the get-go. I didn't want a prequel.
I think you said that last episode or two episodes ago that it would have been so much more better if they did Discovery right after, like it happened after Voyager, like that kind of time period.
I mean, the entire plot of season one of Discovery makes so much sense if it was set afterwards. It explains the look of the ships. It explains why they're so much bigger than they're used to. The Klingons' fear of homogenization, with like Worf being in the Federation and them being, you know, at peace for so long with the Federation. They're scared of the homogenization. Everything about the plot makes way more sense in the future. The Klingon and Federation were completely separate pre-TOS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how are they scared of homogenization when it hasn't even happened yet? I mean, just all the little plot points. And the thing I was saying a couple episodes ago was I think the only reason it was set in the past is because we wouldn't care as much without tiebacks to the original series.
Yeah.
And, there's tons of potential. I'm really excited to see how next episode goes, because, I mean, they could have really interesting things happening. They've got a lot of options to go, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes. So, I'm more excited about this episode than I have been about Discovery episodes in the last couple of weeks, so I'm looking forward to it, guys.
Nice. Well, it's going to be fun. I think I'm going to finally get that action.
That sex.
I'm going to get that action-packed episode that I was hoping for, so it's a good.
I can't wait.
So, anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah, nice. All right. Well, it's not the Facebook group, I put a couple disparaging things, and I wasn't really shitting on the episode. I just wasn't my love. Didn't love the episode. I think people took it as if I'm not gushing over it.
Yeah, a lot of people take like not gushing as like hating the show. I'm like, we just, I don't know. I don't think we like to blow smoke up CBS's ass. I think we like to give our honest opinion about it, whether we like it or don't like it.
Yeah.
The show, like it's the show is very much like Prometheus, or like it's got great acting, great special effects, great set design, and just the writing is where most of it falls apart. And it's just, I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, everything can be perfect, and if the writing's not good, I mean.
That happens. It's all through Hollywood, though. I see that everywhere. Yeah. And I think me and you, Dave, are on the same page. We get so frustrated with bad writing. You know, you have a great, you know, a great actor, a great production.
A great premise. I mean, the episode of the season had a great premise, and they just wasted a lot of time not really dealing with a premise.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait, we've got to deal with the premise now. The season's almost over. And then they rush it out at the end, which is kind of unsatisfying. I'm just like, well, don't tease something. Forget about it. Then, like, oh, crap, we have to finish it. And then, like, you've run out of time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like there could be a better way to go about it. And we just give our opinion on it. And we don't hate Discovery by any means. We just are frustrated with inconsistencies in the writing, or just, like, abandoning the premise. The seasons are short. It was only 14 episodes. We're used to 20-something episode seasons. And a 20-something episode season, it didn't matter, like, if they followed the arc very much. I mean, Deep Space Nine was a hard arc show, but they still had lots of random episodes or things to happen. And a shorter season, it just seems like it should be more focused, and the season meandered.
Yeah.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes when we do talk, I'll come in like, oh, really like that episode, and then I'm not saying you guys shit on it, but sometimes I walk away liking the episode a lot less because of the things you guys say.
And sorry.
That kind of sucks.
are you quitting the podcast?
Just so you know. No, but I think it's good. I mean, I should probably have said something a couple weeks ago about it.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, I get it. I understand, like, where they're coming from. It's not, and I know you guys aren't saying that you hate the show, but you do, you know, kind of use your own words, David, you could go about it a different way.
Be gentler and kinder.
Maybe.
Be a gentler and kinder neutron bomb.
Yeah, it's just you know.
Yeah, I know we. It's hard because it's like me and Dave kind of feed into each other too because we get frustrated. I think sometimes about the same things.
A lot of times, yes.
You know, I just, you know, there's, it's like anything. It's like I'll get like frustrated. It doesn't even have to be Star Trek. It could be any other thing I'd be watching. I'll be like, I liked the show before, but this episode kind of sucks because of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I'll never watch that show again, but,
mm-hmm.
It means I have things to say.
Yeah. And that's the whole point of a podcast. Like,
yeah.
You should be honest and say what you think.
And I don't, you know, like Dave said, we don't want to, like, we're not, you know, blowing sunshine up CBS and Discovery's ass just because, you know, we want to be fanboys and go, oh, anything there? Because, you know, I, you know, when I was younger, you know, whatever band I was listening to, like, that could do no wrong because I loved them. But then years later, I listened to the album, like, oh, that's kind of a shitty album.
That's what I think.
You know, why did I like that? You know,
and you know, some people, like, we had a comment on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. There was like, you know, and I was just kind of, you know, they're saying like that we're just hating on Discovery just to hate on it, like, and we're not. I don't have an issue with a female African American lead. I have a problem that Star Trek has a lead. Yeah. It's I don't care who it is or what it is. It's just like Star Trek's never had a lead this strong before. That's my issue, that they're leaning so hard on one character. Star Trek is almost, even in the original series, I mean, yeah, it was hard on Kirk, but Spock and McCoy, they were a trinity. They bounced stuff off each other all the time. They shared a lot of screen time together. It was at least, you know, it was a three musketeers type of thing. It followed them mostly. And then after that, TNG was very, you know, character, you know, it bounced around.
Well, TNG kind of, you know, everything forward from TNG to Deep Space Nine to Voyager,
Enterprise,
you know, Enterprise, they all kind of felt, you know, yeah, you had a captain, but that didn't mean you can't.
The show didn't revolve around one person.
You can't go back to the original series and think that all shows should be like that. That's bullshit, because that was like 1960s thinking. You know, you had the main hero who was going to do everything. You know, that's a bygone era. That doesn't happen anymore.
And that's the thing. Like, I have no issues. Like, I know there's people on YouTube who just hate on Discovery, and they hate that. They say it's like in other podcasts, probably. I don't listen to many other Star Trek podcasts, but like some, I'm sure some probably just hate on it because they think Star Trek's going too social justice aware. Star Trek has always been progressive ever since the 60s. They're not like perfect, but I mean, they've always tried to be somewhat progressive. I don't have an issue with that.
And there was even I remember George Takei said that he wanted to introduce like a gay character or something to that nature. And, you know, Roddenberry is like, I can't. There's just nobody will accept it.
He's like, I wouldn't mind, but we can't. It just, you know,
no one's going to allow it right now.
I mean, like, they almost got turned off the air for the interracial kiss between Kirk and Uhura. I mean, that almost broke, you know, the show and the network and all that stuff. So I mean, I don't have a problem with the progressivism of Star Trek. That's what Star Trek's always been about. I don't have a problem with the characters. I just wish it was shared screen time, shared stories, like not just hammering just one character. And honestly, she's not my favorite character. Like, season one, my favorite character was Lorca. Season two, my favorite character has been Pike. Like, their captains they've been casting have been phenomenal actors, and they've got great lines. I mean, Pike, almost everything he says is great. Almost everything Lorca said was really great. Yeah. I mean, just the writing for the captain's lines have been great. I've loved them both. And I don't find Michael super compelling as a character. Sinequa Martin-Green's a phenomenal actress. She can act the pants off most of the people on the show. She is phenomenal, but
yeah.
It's the character.
They kind of make her into like this whole thing. In the first season, she was always like, you know, I started the Klingon War, woe is me. And she kind of, you know, I remember we were talking, we were so excited to see that she turned that curve, like she was getting better. And, you know, and then we got this whole thing with the Red Angel and tracking down her parents, which was interesting. You kind of got a backstory with her. We get more and more information kind of revealed. It just, you know, we like the other characters too. We want to see them as well. So, whatever, you know, maybe next season they'll kind of back off of Michael's character and move on to some other characters. You know, I honestly, it would be really cool to get more of a Tilly.
I mean, you can still write her as the lead and still give other people screen time.
Yeah, no.
I mean, actually, if you look at Game of Thrones, like Jon Snow is probably technically the lead, but I mean, yeah, there's everyone else has shit ton of screen time.
I don't know. I was thinking, like, actually, maybe Tilly and Jet Reno would be, like, the two characters I'd want to see the most of.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Pike's gone, most definitely I'd love to see those two the most.
Yeah, because Pike's obviously out after this. But I'm just saying, if I could get those. But, I mean, whatever.
So we don't hate the show. We are just critics of the show, because that's kind of what we do on the podcast. We're critics of all Star Trek. If it's an episode that we love of any series, we'd say how much we love it, and we say all the things it did right. And if it's an episode we don't like, we say that as well. We try to be as candid and honest. And
it's equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity.
Absolutely. We bag on the original series. We bag on Next Gen. We bag on, you know, geez.
We don't even talk about animated.
That's how much we bag on the animated series.
When we do, we really bag on that. But, no, I was going to say, Deep Space Nine, we go through the ringer with some of those jokes. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's silly. Don't, you know, it's opinions. You enjoy if you want. If you're looking for someone to talk about the show, yeah, we're going to say things, maybe you won't like it, but it's just, you know, and if you have a better idea of what you want to say, you can start your own podcast. It's, don't say you shouldn't.
It's just like our opinion, man.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, man. Anyways,
it's funny. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, like, you know, I hope we hope you guys don't leave, because we've been hard on Discovery this season. I mean, hoping season it'll get better, and I mean, I have hope, and you know, usually season three is when they start hitting their stride. So I mean, there's always next season, and you know, I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing with seasons one and two that we've been, you know, upset about, is the shakeups happening in the background. We're live with the show. Like, beforehand, maybe we don't know all the background with what happened in all the previous Star Treks. But we're current with this show. We're seeing the news about it. And we know there have been massive shakeups in the writing staff and the showrunners for Seasons 1 and Season 2. So maybe if Season 3 is shake-up-less, it can be a good unified season with a unified vision, and it won't feel so herky-jerky like this season has. And that's what I'm hoping for. I want season three to be absolutely amazing. I want it to be the best one yet. And here's hoping. And then Star Trek historically usually turns around really good on season three. Next Gen. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we had this guy was commenting on us. And, like, sometimes you guys, he's like, you know, are we wearing rose-colored glasses or are we wearing poo-poo-colored glasses? And honestly, we haven't hit that third season mark. And my opinions haven't changed too much on old Star Trek. I mean, first couple seasons of TNG are rough. First couple seasons of Deep Space Nine are even rougher, and it's my favorite series. Until Seven of Nine's introduced in Voyager, it's kind of rough. Enterprise is a little bit different because there's only four seasons, and Enterprise is hit or miss throughout. But I really enjoy Enterprise. I mean, season three and four of Enterprise are also stellar. For me, I know people don't like the Zindi War in season three, but I like season three and four a lot on Enterprise. So, I mean, to each their own. Everyone's got a different opinion. So, it's interesting. And next
fandom's
season,
fandom's personal. Fandom's personal. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. And we all, you know, walk away from watching something and we love it, we hate it, we are indifferent or whatever. So, you know, just take it as it is. Oh. And, you know, just because we talk about stuff, you know, maybe just listen to it and think about it as you're, you know, you don't have to agree with us. Jesus. No. And I would never want to. Yeah, you can, you know, totally disagree with us. I just believe that we're not doing it to be. There is something about it. There is a whole movement out there. And I've seen it, especially a lot of YouTube channels of people who shit on Discovery for the same reasons that person shit on us for saying that we're not crazy about that certain episode. And, you know, I don't understand what's crawled up those people's asses who are so upset just because Discovery is not the same, you know, Star Trek they grew up with, whatever. Because we're not like that. I've never been like that. So, whatever. I mean, yeah, I don't think those people have listened to us or really heard us through. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I mentioned that that we were like making fun of, you know, Cat's Paw, the original series. Mm-hmm. I mean, we make fun of the shit like all the time. It's hilarious.
Like and that's the thing. Like we're here to like have fun and to be honest and hopefully make you laugh. Like make one of my biggest personal things is on every single episode, I really hope I say something that makes Aaron laugh really hard or Holly laugh really hard. Because if I've gotten them to laugh, I'm hoping I'm making you, the listener, laugh. Because I just like seeing people happy. I like seeing people laugh. Right. And people thinking our show is funny is the greatest thing in the world to me. It's one of the greatest things. Because I want to make people happy. I want to bring smiles and laughter to the world. And that's why we do the podcast. And if we just talked about every single episode of Star Trek Discovery and just said how much we loved it, even if we didn't, it would not be honest. And it wouldn't be us.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Exactly.
I mean, and
that's perfect, what you just said there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're here to have fun. The three of us are real good friends. We love talking with each other, and our lives are busy. And this is the one way we get to talk to each other. And it's great. I love that. And it lets us talk about something that we're passionate about and love to talk about. And, you know, sometimes we like things, sometimes we don't. And it's just, you know, our love for Star Trek and us getting to enjoy time with each other and our friendship, the limited ways we can with our busy lives. And we're just sharing this with everyone who's willing to listen. So, yeah. I mean, I hope you hear our friendship and the way we bicker back and forth and the way Holly's like, ew, David, don't say things like that. And, you know, I hope you hear the friendship through the podcast and like that we're a bunch of buddies just talking about something we love. And that sometimes we get emails and, you know, people say that it's like they're sitting with their pals talking about Star Trek. And sometimes they talk back like we're there, but then it's like, oh yeah, it's a podcast. But that's great. It's a great feeling when people say stuff like that.
Yeah, if you
can, I actually do that when I listen to you guys when I'm not on.
Oh,
I say things and I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, my heart just grew two sizes. Two sizes.
We're dying of heart attacks now. It's great.
You're doing it alone.
But it's great to hear that. It's really sweet, Holly, that you said you do that too. That do that as well, because it's like and it's great that even strangers who don't know us for anyone have listened to the show and have thought the same thing. It's like I try to answer back, and then oh wait, it's a podcast, and it's great. And I love that you guys do that, and I'm glad you feel like the people that do give us feedback have said it, they feel like it's like they're just talking Trek with their friends, and that's what the show's about. And that's what we love to do. And we're going to probably get into some more science fiction stuff in between Star Trek seasons, because there's going to be new Star Trek, so much of it. So we're going to have to take advantage of the time in between seasons of new Star Trek to get other things we love and are passionate about out on the show. So that's kind of what we're looking at. And sorry for the long PSA at the end, but I don't want people to think we hate Discovery. I mean, we're not one of those podcasts or YouTubers that just go, Star Trek Discovery is terrible because of Star Trek Discovery. We try to be fair and give our honest opinion on it. Well, does anyone have anything else for the PSA?
No, after that, I'm ready to write the Bill of Rights now, Dave.
Oh man, how many amendments are we going to have?
I don't know. A lot.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for sticking with us, and for those who, you know, we're probably preaching to the choir with that. So most people that are probably here with us every week probably know what we've just said. But thanks for sticking with us. We enjoy that very much, and we hope you'll keep listening.
Absolutely.
Well, our intro is provided by Dave Wilkes. The rest of our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The show, you can email us online at synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can find us, our website is at synthaholics.com. You can join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/sentholics. Join in the fun. Join in the conversations. I mean, it's been really busy this week. Aaron's stirred up the pot, and people
have really been I'm sorry. People
don't. Great. It's great. I mean, it's some of the most engagement we've had in a while, so it's great. Join the conversation there. It's great to hear everyone's thoughts and opinions on the show, and I'd like seeing all the activity. It's been absolutely stellar. So thanks, Aaron, for getting people talking. It's awesome.
You're welcome. Bomb threats are being called in now.
Evacuate. You can check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/synthaholics. And Holly has a voice acting website she'd like you to check out.
It's at hollymichellev.wixsite.com/voiceover.
Cool. And please go to our Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. Say nice things. Please say nice things. Give us 5 stars. And if you can, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/synthaholics. It's a buck a month. It's not much to ask. It's more than you probably spend on hamburgers or coffee. So please do that if it's possible. And if not, let your friends know that we do not hate Discovery. We are lovers of Discovery. We are lovers of Star Trek. We are lovers of sci-fi. We like to just analyze the shit out of stuff. So we're kind of like scientists without degrees.
Yes. So
let your friends know. Your coworkers.
We're DIY fans. Scientists.
DIY. Right. We're die.
Like Saru.
Yes. Well, yeah. We just pull apart things and can figure it out. But
speaking of spell, it's great.
Yeah, let them know. Let them know about us.
All right. Well, thank you, Holly and Aaron, for joining. It's always great seeing you and talking with you guys every week.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Thank May you. Not be here next week.
I know. That's really so and sad.
It's the finale.
Such sweet sorrow.
Such sweet sorrow. Oh, man. We're going to miss you, Holly. No.
Well, maybe write us a note. You know, if you have
time. Oh, yeah, do the note thing. That would be great.
I might try to call in, maybe.
Oh, yeah,
call in. Just, like, record it on your Skype. I don't know. I'll be in the desert, so I don't know what my service will be like. Mm-hmm. But if I can send something in written, I'll just write something in
for you. Yeah, that'd be great, because it was great having your message in a bottle for Aaron to read last time. It was great. So, that's awesome. All right, well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. We'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. 1 of those days. At least we weren't an hour in and then like, oh fuck, it's not going.
Yeah,
it was only like a minute. It's the intro still. All right. Take two. Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Holly Michelle.
Hey there, Holly Michelle. How are you tonight?
I feel like poop. How are you?
I am not feeling much better, but we will carry on.
We will.
The way it was meant to be. Aaron may or may not show up. He may have been abducted by the Red Angel, which is now Michael and her mother. So, lucky him, mother and daughter, huh? So, he can't rebuttal that one. But he might be getting double teamed in the future. We don't know if he makes it back.
I'm sure, we'll have to ask. Pleased.
You can't help what happens in the future.
Oy, oy, oy. Yeah. So,
You're stuck in here with me. I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me. I'm sorry. I'm kind of tired, too, just FYI. But, we're excited. We got the Star Trek episode, Star Trek Discovery Season 2, Episode 13, Such Sweet Sorrow. And it was released, it first aired April 11th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the 28th of 29th produced in Discovery.
Fancy.
There's literally a freaking foot that comes through cyberspace.
Yeah.
My balls already hurt. I'm fine. You don't need. I'm in enough pain. It's fine.
Your balls are
hurting? Yeah.
Your balls are
hurting. Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Stop. I'm sorry. This is crazy. This is crazy. Story.
I shouldn't have led with that.
I know.
Welcome to Synthaholics.
Time is money.
Yeah, sorry. All right.